All right, good morning. I know there'll be other people trickling in here, but I want to get started right on time. So last Sunday, the way we used the Sunday school hour was to do lesson six in something that I started some years ago on Through the Bible in Seven Sundays. So what I want to do is I want to continue with that by doing number seven today. If you recall also to last Sunday, there was a situation where the video camera cut out like about 5 minutes before I was done. I was just getting ready to start talking about issues related to the rapture. And the main thrust of lesson six was to talk about the Pauline epistles. And what I want to do today is kind of pick up where we left off. I want to touch on some things regarding the rapture and then discuss just a general overview of the ages to come, so that we can round out this Through the Bible in Seven Sundays study. I did hear from Norm, who was very happy to see that I had finally gotten around to doing this. Norm Price, yeah. So Norm, if you're listening, I'm not going to do a splice to add to the end of the last one. I'm just going to kind of touch base on this and then move forward. So if you would, I want you to get 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. Now I'm going to go through this fast. We did this last time. It did not get recorded. So for those of you that are sitting here, this is going to be a review point to get started. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I want to move on to some other matters. But 1 Corinthians 15 in one hand and 1 Thessalonians 4 in the other. So the prophets of time past, the prophets of the Old Testament, they did not know anything about the dispensation of grace. Okay? The dispensation of grace was the subject of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began, right? So they did not know this information. This information was hidden God. It was not hidden in the Old Testament. It was hidden God. And it was first revealed to and through the Apostle Paul, okay? So the only fitting way for a dispensation that was a mystery that nobody knew about to end is through an event that was also not known or spoken about or made known in the prophetic scripture to the nation of Israel. So we see this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a what? Mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Okay? So verse 51 there establishes a few things. Number one, what Paul is about to say was part of the mystery. Okay? It was not something that was spoken about, talked about, preached about, or made known before Paul talks about it. Okay? Number two, not every believer, not every member of the body of Christ is going to die before the end of the dispensation. Okay? It says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed." Third thing it establishes is that every member of the body of Christ will be changed. So number one, what he's talking about is a mystery. Number two, not every believer is going to die. Number three, every believer will be what? Changed. Okay? Verse 52. "In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Notice how Paul does not anticipate that he will have died before this happens. Okay? He groups himself with the word "we" into the group of those who will be changed. So again, that is a clue to you that Paul does not think at that time that the duration of the dispensation of grace is going to be as long as it has. He views himself as being in the category of those who would not have died before the end of the dispensation. Okay? But verse 52, this changing of all members of the body of Christ will participate in, will occur in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. When the trumpet sounds, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and then we shall be changed. So all are changed, okay? Both the dead and those that are alive and remain. So both are going to receive a change. Now, you want to keep your hand there, but go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay, verse 13, Paul says, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." So he's talking there about believers that have what? That have died, right? That have died, that have passed on, that don't have... He doesn't want them to sorrow over them as those who don't have any hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God what? Bring with him. So he's talking about those who have died and sleep in Jesus. So Paul does not want the Thessalonians in those two verses to be ignorant of them which are asleep. The departed believers God will bring with him. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So again, Paul sees that there will be a group that is alive and remaining when the Lord comes, according to what he's talking about here in this passage. So those that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord are not going to prevent them. They're not going to, there's not going to be those that are, those who have fallen asleep are not going to be prevented by those who are alive and remain. So we see two groups, okay? We see number one, those who have fallen asleep, i.e. the believing dead, and those who are alive and remain. Now this matches with 1 Corinthians 15:51, right? If you think back to that verse said, behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed, right? So not all believers will sleep, i.e. die physically before the coming of the Lord, but all believers will be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise what? First, so those who have gone before in terms of dying, believing saints who have died, okay, they're going to be raised first. Now that matches with 1 Corinthians 15:52, where it says that the dead shall be raised how? Incorruptible, right? Is that a change? Yeah. Is that a change from going to corruption to incorruptible? Okay. Then we have verse 17. After those who have slept are raised, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Those are the departed saints in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So after the dead in Christ rise first, those which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? Now this is a different thing from the prophetic day of the Lord's return back to earth. Okay? We think about just write this reference down. I don't want to have you turn there for the sake of time. But write down Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 4 is describing a prophetic day when the Lord himself shall stand again upon the Mount of Olives. Right? Also write down Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, the Lord Jesus Christ ascends up into heaven, right? The apostles stand there looking up into heaven, wondering what's going on. The angel comes and explains to them that he, in like manner as you saw him, so he will what? Return, right? Well, where did he ascend up from? Geographically, he's standing on the Mount of Olives when he ascends up into heaven, okay? And then if you also want to write down Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 17, we see Jesus Christ returning bodily back to earth, okay? So these events of the prophetic program of Zechariah, of Acts, and of Revelation, Acts 1 and Revelation 19, these are all foretold. These are spoken about, talked about, preached about since the world began. Okay, so there's a difference then between the bodily return of the Lord Jesus Christ back to the planet according to prophecy, and the mystery return of Christ to meet the Lord in the air and to catch away the saints to join him in the clouds and be with him there. Okay, those are not the same thing. The events of Revelation 19 are the subject of the prophetic scriptures, whereas the events of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15 are the subject of the mystery committed to the Apostle Paul. So the catching away of the church, or the event that is referred to commonly as the rapture, is a pre-prophetic event. Okay? Therefore, it must be pre-tribulational as to its timing. Okay? So there's no prophesied event according to the prophetic program that has to happen before the Lord can return to catch away the saints in the air. Okay? Jeremiah 30, Daniel 9:24, which talks about the 70 weeks being determined upon Jerusalem and upon the holy city, okay? And Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 talks about the 70th week that is commonly referred to as the tribulation is specifically called in the prophetic scriptures the time of whose trouble?
Jacob's
trouble. Okay, so I'm just going to draw a very crude timeline here. Most of you have seen it before, right? So we've got time past, we've got but now, and what we're now going to transition into a little bit is talking about what?
The ages to come.
The ages to come. Okay? So we understand that time passed, that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth, that from Genesis, and I'm going to write small here, between Genesis 1 through 11, God deals with the whole what? The whole world, right? There's no such thing yet as the nation of Israel. In Genesis chapter 12, God's going to call out who?
Abraham.
That's Genesis 12, Abram, and then he's going to begin to commit to Abraham, covenants, promises, and so on and so forth, and the Gentiles are going to go off on a different line here, right? So we understand all of that. We understand that in the Old Testament, that the kingdom is prophesied. We understand that in the Gospel, and I'm already messed up my chart, so in the Gospels, John the Baptist comes. He's the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is born in the manger. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to be buried. He's going to rise again. And then in Acts, He's going to ascend where? Into heaven, right? So that's Acts chapters 1 through 7. Again, I told you I was going to go fast, okay? But all this time, is there a distinction between the Jew up here and the Gentile here? Okay? So then we have the fall of Israel. We have the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. That's my pile of stones, okay? The nation of Israel falls throughout the rest of the book of Acts. They're diminished. We've talked about that in previous studies. Saul of Tarsus is saved on the road to Damascus, and this ushers in the but now time period, the dispensation of grace, the revelation of the mystery to the Apostle Paul. So back here we've got Genesis through Malachi. In here we've got Matthew through John. In here we have the book of Acts. Out here we've got Paul's epistles, Romans through what?
Philemon.
Okay? Those are out here. Then the event we just talked about, the Lord returns to catch away the saints to meet Him where?
In the air,
right? So shall we ever be with the Lord, right? So this event is the subject of the mystery. The events of Revelation 19, Zechariah, and elsewhere are the subjects of the prophetic scriptures that were talked about and made known back here in time past. Okay? So again, I told you I was going to go fast. That already took longer than I wanted to. So, the rapture of the church is pre-prophecy. Okay? Now, I've told you before in previous studies, we've talked about this issue of the prophetic gap. Okay? That what starts the time, what starts the official prophetic time clock again is the signing of a covenant between the nation of Israel and the Antichrist, and that's going to last for 7 years. Okay? That starts there. That's Daniel chapter 9, right? And this time period is referred to as the 70th what? The 70th week. It's a 7 year time period. But there, between this event right here, where the Lord returns to catch away the church to meet Him in the air, I should also say this is the church in here. This is the body of Christ, okay? So dispensation of grace, body of Christ, that's what the acronyms are standing for here. But between this event here and the signing of that covenant, there's a what?
Yeah.
There's a gap of an undisclosed amount of time, right? We don't know how long this gap is going to be, but what starts the prophetic time clock counting again is when that covenant is signed between the Antichrist and the nation of Israel. Come back to Daniel chapter 9 quickly. Now, those of you that are sitting here in the assembly, you've heard me go over this stuff many times before. Those of you who may be watching now on video, and this is your first exposure to these things, I would ask you that if you have further questions, to direct your attention to the Right Division 101 series that we have available on YouTube, and all the notes that I've also made available on the church website. If you have a question about how to find those or where to access them, please write to us or call us and let us know, and we would be happy to try to answer your question. Daniel chapter 9. In verse 24, he talks about the 70 weeks. The 70 weeks are determined upon thy holy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Okay? So, of those 70 weeks, 69 of them have already been accounted for. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ is crucified. We've also talked about the gap that occurs here between when the Lord Jesus Christ is crucified and when Stephen is stoned, right? But the Lord Jesus Christ is crucified. 69 of those weeks are accounted for. There's only 1 week that is what?
Not accounted for,
right? Verse 27, and He shall confirm the covenant with many for how long? 1 week. So that's what we're talking about right here. What starts the prophetic time clock ticking again is the signing of that covenant right there for 1 week between Israel and the Antichrist. Okay? So there's a time period here, but after the catching up, after the rapture, before the beginning of the 70th week, that I'm trying to talk to you about regarding this gap of time. We don't know how long it will be. Now, every Christian movie that I've ever seen in my life growing up depicts things happening where the rapture happens and then like 10 seconds later, there's the Antichrist. Okay? That's not necessarily the case. In fact, I think it could be the case that there's some time that's going to transpire between the ending of the dispensation of grace and the signing of that covenant as depicted there in the book of Daniel. Okay? But let's go back now. I want to talk to you a little bit about an overview of the ages to come. So let's go back and look at come back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now that passage is talking about this time right here, right? Where there's a division between Jew and what?
Gentile.
Okay? Then in verse 13, Paul says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. Well, who was far off in time past?
Gentile.
The Gentiles were far off in time past. Okay? So, those who were in time past far off, in the but now, he says, now you've been made what? Now you've been made nigh. Okay? For he is our peace, verse 14, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Well, where's all that happening? That's not happening back here. That's happening where?
Here.
Even in the Gospels, Jesus says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of who?
Israel.
Of Israel, right? Even in early Acts period, Peter and the boys, they're going to Israel first, right? It's not until you get to the ministry of the Apostle Paul here that you start seeing an apostle that's going to be sent to who? To the Gentiles, okay? So that's but now. That's where we are today. And then if you drop down to verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Now let me say something about verse 7, okay? That verse is talking, in that verse is talking specifically about something that God is going to do for the body of Christ when? In the ages to come, right? But the reason we get our terminology there is because that Paul's telling you in that verse that are there going to be some future ages yet to come? Okay? Now there's going to be some things that He does for the body of Christ in those ages to come. That's what He's talking about in that verse. But this verse still establishes the fact that there's going to be a time to what?
Come.
To come, right? And in the time to come, after the church, the body of Christ has been formed during the but now time period, the dispensation of grace in here, we're still a part of what God's going to do when? In the ages to come. So it would make sense that this would apply to us. But in the ages to come, are we once again going to see a distinction between the Jews and who? The Gentiles. God is going to finish in the ages to come what He started with the nation of Israel here from a prophetic standpoint. Go over to Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, I want Romans chapter 11. I think that's a mistake. In the notes that I'm going to have to fix. Romans chapter 11, verse 25, in the dispensational section of Romans where Paul's explaining things, he says in verse 25, "For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until when?" So during the dispensation of grace, during this time in here, is Israel in a state of blindness?
Yep.
Is there going to come a time after the fullness of the Gentiles become in where they will not be in that state of blindness anymore? Look at verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be what?
Saved.
As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, who shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." So Paul says, look, there's been this stuff is temporarily, this prophetic stuff here is now temporarily on hold, but when God's done doing what He's going to accomplish with the church, is He going to finish what He started with Israel? Okay? "All Israel shall be saved. The Deliverer shall come out of Zion," verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their what?
Sin.
So is God going to finish what He started with that nation? When's He going to do that? He's going to do that in this time period that Paul identifies in Ephesians 2, verse 7, the age is what? To come. Okay? So, when you get in your Bible now to Hebrews to Revelation, Hebrews to Revelation is primarily instruction for the nation of Israel as they go through the rest of this prophetic time schedule. Okay? So at the end of this 7-year time period, is the Lord going to return bodily back to earth? Okay.
Whew.
Okay. Then will He establish a kingdom on the earth?
Yes.
Okay. And then you're going to have the great white throne, and a bunch of stuff is going to happen out here beyond this, right? But is He going to dwell in Zion?
Yeah.
Is He going to establish His kingdom? Is He going to forgive the nation all their sins and do all those things, right? All of these things right here, the 70th week, the second coming, the return of Christ, all of that is part of a prophetic package that you can find where? In the Old Testament, right? That's all part of prophecy. That's not part of what?
Mystery.
That's part of the prophetic program. So I can go back to the prophetic scriptures in Genesis through Malachi, and I can read about this time, the time of Jacob's trouble. I can read about the second coming. I can read about the establishment of the kingdom in Zion. I can read about all those things because they're part of that what? That program, that system, right? When John the Baptist shows up, when the Lord Jesus Christ is born in the manger, when He dies on the cross, all that stuff there is that all fulfillment of stuff that God said to them there.
Yes.
Okay? But when you get into this time here, you can't find this stuff where? Paul calls this the unsearchable riches of who?
Christ.
Of Christ, right? He says, you can't go back into the Old Testament and search this out because it was a what?
Yes.
Mystery. But in the future, from where we are today, is God going to finish what He started?
Yes.
Okay? Now, Israel is going to need instruction in the ages to come. Okay? Christ sort of anticipates this. Let's come to John 14. He knows that Israel's going to need further instruction. John 14:25. He says, "And these things I have spoken unto you, being yet present," what? Even according to the prophetic program, even if Israel had accepted, did he still have to go receive the kingdom? Acts 3. Whom the heaven must, what? Receive. Right? Did he have to be ascended up into heaven and get the authority for that kingdom from the Father before he could come back and establish it? Okay? Yes. Okay? In John, he's talking to them about stuff that he told them when he was what? When he was with them. Knowing that even in that program, he's going to have to go where? Go get the kingdom, right? So he says they're going to need some further instruction. "These things I've spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you." Now this is where a lot of denominational Christianity goes sideways. Okay? They don't understand when the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles in Acts 2, that is a prophecy spoken by who? Joel. Back there. What Jesus Christ is telling them in John is he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and that happened on that day in Acts what? In Acts 2. But the coming of the Holy Spirit and on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 is the fulfillment of something that Joel said back there. You guys remember that? Right? Joel says, "This is that which was spoken unto you by the prophet," what? Joel, "then in the last days, this should happen, and this, and this, and this." Remember that? Okay? So what Jesus is talking about in John is something that's going to happen ultimately on the day of Pentecost, which is part of that prophetic system. Is everybody following that? So come over to... So the emphasis in Hebrews to Revelation. So the emphasis in here is on the fulfillment of Israel's program. So let's go back to the book of Hebrews. We are going to have to look at a couple passages here. A lot of these I've been sort of just quoting and moving through quickly. So again, if you're seeing this abbreviated presentation and you want more information or a fuller explanation, you're going to want to get the whole Wright Division 101 study. That's a 30-part study that goes through this stuff much slower and much in much more detail. Hebrews chapter 1. Now watch. God, who has sent... First of all, who's the book... The book of Hebrews is written to who? Hebrews. Who's Hebrew? Who are the Hebrews? The nation of Israel, right? The Jewish nation, okay? God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So let's just stop there. The author of Hebrews, right out of the gate, whoever it is, we're not going to get into that debate, is calling the reader's attention to things that God spoke when? In time past. Okay, look at the verse. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto who?
The
unto the fathers. By who? The prophets. Well, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, he called the Gentiles in time past. He said that they were without hope, that they were without God, that they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God where? In the world, right? So it was the writer of Hebrews. He's speaking to a group of people that have a prophetic history of God speaking to them in diverse and sundry ways and manners through the what? Through the prophets. Then it says, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom all the worlds were made." So the people to whom the book is addressed have a history in God's prophetic program. They have a history in the prophetic dealings of God. Let's look at a few things here. Hold your hand there and come over to Romans 15. verse 8. Paul says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." Who's that?
Jews.
That's Israel. "A minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto" who? So even Paul is saying that in the, that when the Lord came during His earthly ministry in this time and here, okay, He came, He came as a minister to who? The circumcision, that's who? Does that match the Lord's own testimony? "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He came unto His own and His own what? Received Him not. He came to save His people from their what? From their sin. So Paul's saying that in this time and here, He was sent as a minister of the circumcision to do what? Confirm the truth of God. I missed a word there. For the truth of God, to confirm the what? The promises made unto who? Now, in Ephesians 2, Paul said that the Gentiles in time past were strangers from what? The covenants of promise. Remember that? So the Lord in His earthly ministry, that's what He came for. The author of Hebrews now is directing the reader's attention not to what's going on here, not to Paul's ministry, not to the mystery, but the things that happened for them according to the prophetic writings. Things that in the way God had spoken unto the fathers. Come over to Acts 2. Verse 16. Acts 2, verse 16. I quoted this earlier. This is Peter on the day of Pentecost, and he says, "But this is that which was spoken by" who?
The prophet
Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh," and so forth. Okay? So Hebrews, the book of Hebrews here is picks up where we last observed the nation of Israel in the book of Acts, i.e. facing the fulfillment of the last days of the prophetic scripture. Peter says right there, hey, listen, the last days are starting to what? Verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Well, when did that happen historically? When did He pour out His Spirit upon all flesh? Right there. Right here in Acts 2. At Pentecost. Right? Now, Peter's saying that this is, "and it shall come to pass in the last days." So that means that what happens here in Acts 2 was the beginning of the last days. This was not the first day of the church. This is the beginning of the fulfillment of the last days of Israel's prophetic what? Program. And would it have gone off the way it was supposed to had God not interrupted it? You seeing that? Now the writer of Hebrews now, in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1, is directing your attention back to what? That stuff. Okay? So the writer of Hebrews now is now directing you back, the reader back, to a historical context where the issue was God fulfilling prophetic things to what group?
Israel.
Come over to Hebrews chapter 2. The context of this book, Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 2 verse 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord," who's that?
Christ,
"and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will." Now, those two verses right there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? When did He begin to speak it? Right in there. Right? Was it borne witness to by signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit? Okay? So again, the author of Hebrews is directing your attention back to what happened historically here during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So the context of the book of Hebrews is the earthly ministry of Christ. The salvation spoken of here was first spoken of by the Lord and confirmed by signs, wonders, and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Historically, when did these things happen? They happened in the Gospels during the earthly ministry of Christ and the early Acts period after the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Look at verse 5 again. Oh, we didn't look at verse 5 yet. Look at verse 5. And unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to what? To come, whereof we what? Speak. So the writer explicitly states that he's speaking of the world what? To come. He's speaking about the world to come. Okay? So we understand that as in the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is directing the reader back to a historical context in which the nation of Israel was still first in the plan and program in dealing with God, right? God came, during this period, He was dealing with Israel according to what? Prophecy, right? The writer of Hebrews is not talking here about stuff that was going on where? In this time period here. He's directing his reader to a historical context where Israel was still first, prophecy was being fulfilled, and he's telling them that he's talking about the world what? To come. Now, that's Hebrews. Go to James. We don't have time to look at everything we could look at here, so we're just going to look at a few high points. James 1:1. James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, which are what? Who's James writing to? Is James writing to the church, the body of Christ? No. Is James writing to the nation of Israel? Yes. And he's writing to them after they've been scattered what?
Abroad.
Okay? So, Hebrews is written to Hebrews about their prophetic, directing their attention to prophetic past and explaining things to them. James is writing to who?
Israel.
The next books that you encounter here are the epistles of Peter and John. So let's just talk about them for a minute. Who are they? They're apostles that Christ chose during His earthly what?
Ministry.
They're apostles who Christ sent not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and told them, into any city of the Gentiles enter ye what? Not, but as you go, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what Peter, James, John, that's what these guys were taught during the earthly ministry of Christ. Okay? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Again, we don't have time to look at everything here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, Peter tells his readers, he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal what?
Priesthood,
a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Does Paul ever call us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation?
No.
So again, who is Peter speaking to and about?
The nation of Israel.
Okay, go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of what? Remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own what? lusts and saying, where is the promise of us coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of what? So Peter instructs his readers to take comfort in the prophetic what? Scriptures. Okay? Did the Lord Jesus Christ warn about these exact things in the Olivet Discourse of Matthew chapter 24? Many shall come in my name, he says. Okay? So Peter, right? Peter is calling them to remember things that were said when? Here. He's calling them to remember this and things that were said here. And he's saying, this is the stuff you guys need to what? I want to put you in remembrance of these things. Okay? So again, Hebrews through Revelation are explaining. Now, just think about it for a minute. How long have we been in this time period?
A couple thousand.
I mean, yeah, we'll just round it off, right? Nearly how long? Nearly 2,000 years. Okay? So has God been dealing with the world in a particular way for almost 2,000 years?
Yeah.
Was He dealing with the world in a particular way over here for a long time?
Yeah.
Okay? So now He's been dealing with the world this way for 2,000 years, right? And you know the state of the Gentiles and things right now, right? Most people are so dead ignorant of the Scripture they couldn't, you know, they couldn't, you know, find anything in the Bible if their life depended on it, right? So after this event happens and the church is caught away, and now we're going to resume the prophetic program, are there going to be people alive on earth that are going to need to understand what's going on? So the section of the Scripture that's going to help those people is what?
Hebrews
through Revelation. Because what is talked about here is the same things that are talked about here, and here they're explained for these people that are going to be living during this time. They're going to need to understand what's going on. Hopefully you're following that. Imagine, think about it this way, if you would, just for a minute. So, when God makes a dispensational change here and sets Israel aside, does He have Paul's entire ministry, both his missionary, both his apostolic journeys, his church establishment and planting, plus all of his epistles to explain to the world what's now going on? Well, why would he leave these people out here in the complete dark without understanding anything? You see what I'm saying? So, just like He had stuff for these people, explained stuff for them, everything comes through, these people out here are going to need instruction. They're going to need doctrine. They're going to need instruction in righteousness. They're going to need reproof and so forth. They're going to need that information out here that applies directly to them, the same way the church, the body of Christ, needs it here that applies directly to who?
To us.
Okay? So, come over to Revelation. No, come to Jude, verse 17. Notice what Jude says. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of who? The apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Come to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant who? John, who bare record of the Word of God, of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this what? Prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is what? Again, when John writes this, he's speaking about the prophetic Scripture. He's uttering forth a prophecy. Now, what no one knew at the time was how long the dispensation of grace was going to run. Even Paul doesn't know that, at least when he writes 1 Corinthians 15, because he includes himself in the we which are alive and what? Remain category. He thought that would happen for him. Look at Revelation chapter 1, go to verse 9. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet. And so John goes into this. Okay, a couple other things about these books. It's very clear when you look at Hebrews through Revelation that the middle wall of partition is back in place. Okay, now before we talk about that, go back to Ephesians 2. And look at one of the characteristics of the but now time period that we're living in today during the dispensation of grace. Ephesians 2, verse 14. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down one. So during this time period right here, has the middle wall partition been broken down? Okay. James chapter 1, verse 1 is James writing again to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Okay? Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter 1, 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Who's Peter writing to? He's writing to those who are scattered abroad. James said that he's writing to the 12 tribes, which are what?
Scattered abroad.
Are they writing to the same group? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Well, we already read this about the chosen generation, the royal priesthood. He instructs them specifically to have their conversation. So look at verse 12. Having a conversation honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of what? Visitation. He's talking about this right here. When the Lord comes and what? Matthew 25. Aren't there some Gentiles who get into the kingdom based upon how they treated who? Israel. Peter is instructing this audience to make sure that they are maintaining good works to be a testimony to who? Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they, the Gentiles, speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of what? Visitation, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King Supreme. And he goes on. Revelation 2. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Verse 9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I will blasphemy of they which say they are what? Jews, and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. When John, the people that John is addressing, is it going to matter again whether you're a Jew? Does it matter today in the dispensation of grace? Go to Revelation 7. Verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144 and 4,000 of all tribes of the children of who? See, 144,000 that are sealed at the beginning of the tribulation, the beginning of the 70th week. They're all members of what nation? The nation of Israel. So is it going to matter again out here whether you're a Jew or not? Okay? It's going to matter a lot because God is going to be dealing again with the world on the basis of that time past distinction. It's going to be reinstituted. The middle wall will be back in effect. God's going to deal with them according to the prophetic program in the ages to come. So, when we last saw God deal with Israel as a nation, Stephen, right here in Acts 7, Stephen saw Christ what? Standing at the right hand of the Father, thereby indicating that the time had arrived for him to make his foes his footstool, i.e. deal with them in judgment and wrath. Right? But instead of the last days of prophecy being executed upon Israel and the nations, they were interrupted, suspended, and temporarily placed on hold for the revelation of the mystery and the formation of the body of Christ. So if this system had gone off the way it was predicted, would any of this in here have happened?
No.
That's why that trifold chart there that Wanda has is so brilliant. Because it allows you to study the Bible with and without a visual understanding of the prophetic program. Or the mystery program, right? You cover up that flap, you see the Bible without Paul's ministry. You open up that flap, now you see the Bible, the whole Bible, including Paul's what? Can I hold that up for a minute for the camera? So what I'm talking about is this chart right here. Okay? So here's the scripture without Paul's ministry. You have time past distinction, the earthly ministry of Christ, crucifixion, ascension to heaven, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles in Acts 2, the stoning of Stephen, and if God had not intervened according to the revelation of the mystery, according to a secret purpose, would all of this stuff have gone off without a hitch? But that's not what happened. God had a secret plan. He had a secret program. And when you open this up, you see the entire Bible, including the revelation of the mystery there in yellow and the church, the body of Christ. Right? So when we last saw God dealing with Israel as a nation, we saw Him right here. We saw Stephen standing and talking about the Christ standing at the right hand of God, right? And instead of coming and dealing with the world in His wrath, He saves Saul of Tarsus, the chief of sinners, commits unto him a whole new body of truth and doctrine pertaining to the body of Christ, the church, the revelation of the mystery about the dispensation of grace. And now over here, we see God going to commence and fulfill His dealing with the nation of Israel. According to Daniel's prophetic time schedule, there's only one time frame that remains as yet unfulfilled, and that's the 70th week, or the last period of what? 7 years. Let's go back to Daniel. Chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And I want to look at... Come on, where's... Daniel chapter 9, let's look at verse 24 again. 70 weeks are determined upon who? Who's that? And thy holy city. What city is that?
Jerusalem.
Okay? Now, what for? What is the purpose of these 70 weeks? Okay? He's going to tell you. There's 6 things. To finish the transgression. Number 1. To make an end of sins. Number 2. To make reconciliation for iniquity. Number 3. To bring in everlasting righteousness. Number 4. And to seal up the vision and prophecy. Number 5. And to anoint who? The Most Holy. At the end of this, are all of those things fulfilled? Is the Lord Jesus Christ anointed as the Most Holy? Okay? Is the prophetic program reaching its fulfillment? All those things are going to be accomplished. Okay? In that time frame. There's one more thing I want to talk about. How much time do I have on the camera?
4 minutes.
4 minutes. All right, just go quickly. Go quickly over to Ephesians. Chapter 1. And again, for those of you that are watching this, I would encourage you to look at Right Division 101 for more detail. This study is designed to be an abbreviated presentation to kind of wet your whistle for these things, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in whom. Eventually, folks, we're going to get to a time out here that is called the dispensation of the fullness of what? Of time. And when we get out here, all things in heaven and earth will be centered under the headship and authority of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? This is what Paul calls the eternal purpose of God in Ephesians chapter 3. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that'll happen. So as we run out of time here, if you just think about the Bible, Paul tells you in 2 Timothy 2:15 that you need to rightly divide the word of what?
True.
Is all this Bible true?
Yeah.
Every word of it's true. Is it all to you?
No.
Is it all about you?
No.
So it needs to be rightly divided. If we let Paul teach us how to rightly divide, Paul makes a distinction between time past, he makes a distinction between but now, and he tells us about a day in the future which will include the ages to come and the dispensation on the fullness of what? Of time. He talks to you about what God was doing in the past, what God's doing now in the present, and what God will do when? In the future. Okay? So time passed, Genesis through Malachi, Matthew through John, Acts 1 through 7. But now, Acts chapter 9 through 28, the period of Israel's diminishing, and Romans through Philemon, Paul's epistles. Ages to come deals with Hebrews through Revelation. And I'll just end with saying this. Folks, the way that your Bible is structured is such that if you just start at the beginning and you read it all the way from beginning to end, you'll get all the information that God intended for you to understand in the order He wanted you to understand it. Okay? So we'll stop there for the recording.